Okay, it'll show up in just a minute. All right, the question is, when does obedience turn to disobedience? Well, it should be pretty simple, but we're going to get the answer. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I mean, there's a lesson there. And we're going to basically quote quite a few scriptures from this chapter. And then you're going to see as we go, I mean, what the commands were, and then the attempted obedience, and then the failure to obey. So we're going to see that. See, in verse 1, Samuel said unto Saul, Jehovah sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I have marked that which Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him in the way when he came up out of Egypt. I mean, so God says, I remember what the Amalekites did. They tried to stop my people from coming out of Egypt into this land. And so I am going to punish them. So here's the instructions. Here's the command. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. All right. We jump down to verse 8, and it says, And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatlings, of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. All right, here's you can see this right here. We go back to the page before. It said, come on, destroy all that they have. Spare them not. Slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. That's what he said. Now we get over here, but they didn't do it. All right, now, verse 10. Then the word of the Jehovah unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And Samuel was wroth, and he cried unto Jehovah all night. He was upset, and so he cried about this. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, Blessed be thou of Jehovah, I have performed the commandment of Jehovah. All right, now we're going to get into some little technicalities here. All right, now he did go and fight the Amalekites. That was part of his instruction. He was to utterly destroy all the people. And yet we see that he spared the king. He was supposed to destroy all their possessions, all their crops, all their cattle, and all their animals. But he spared the sheep and the goats. All right, so he comes up, tells Samuel, Oh, I did what the Lord told me to do. I mean, that's how a lot of people operate today. I mean, they take the parts they like, and okay, we'll do this, and we can be said we're doing the will of God. We're keeping his commandments, so that ought to be good enough, right? Well, for most people in this world, yes, that is good enough. But for the true followers of God and true Christians, no. That doesn't fulfill, that doesn't supply what we need. So, when he came up and said, I performed the commandment of Jehovah, Samuel comes back and says, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Alright, immediately Saul, oops, I was supposed to kill them. Now, how do I get out of this? Well, Saul tried two different things to get out of it and take the responsibility off of himself. Well, he blamed the people. Now, isn't that how most people operate now? Blame somebody else. I mean, if you're failing to do what you're supposed to do, well, it's not my fault. They did it. The people did it. They have brought them from the Amalekites. And to try and kind of smooth it over a little bit, it said, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Jehovah your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, did they really spare all the sheep and the oxen for that purpose to sacrifice? Obviously, if Samuel had never come up, these animals would not have been sacrificed. They would have been gone and placed into their flocks and their cattle, and they wouldn't have thought a thing about it. But now, I'm in trouble now. So he blamed the people, and they said, but they had a noble idea. I mean, how many times have we heard that from the denominations? Oh, but they were sincere in what they were doing. They had a noble idea. They really wanted to serve you. See, we keep going. So, verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Jehovah, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah? And Saul tries it again. And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah. I have gone the way which Jehovah sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. I mean, even in his response, he says, I failed to do what God told me to do. This sparing of the king was not to be done. He was to be put to death like everybody else. But I brought him. Now, why did he do that? Well, back in those days, I mean, if you captured the king, you would use him for sport or use him as a trophy to show other nations, hey, look what we got here, and make sport of him. Sometimes they'd even do some strange things like chop off the head and use the head as a soccer ball or something like that. I mean, so anyway, in his response, I have done what God told me to do, and I didn't do what God told me to do. I mean, we have it in the same passage here. And then he blames the people again. But the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of the devoted things to sacrifice unto Jehovah thy God. In other words, I mean, really, Saul doesn't say, my God. He says, your God, when speaking to Samuel. Well, your God wanted this. He doesn't even address as God as his own God. He does not do that. All right, verse 22. And Samuel said, hath Jehovah as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I mean, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is just like idolatry. And because thou hast rejected the word of Jehovah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. All right. So really, this describes the denominational world to a T. And sadly, many who claim to be Christians, I mean, they do some of what God tells them to do, and they feel perfectly satisfied that they have done the command of the Lord. But yet they haven't done all that they've been commanded to do. And when you leave a part out, I mean, you're not fulfilling what you're supposed to be doing. So anyway, now after being exposed and told these things, I mean, Saul finally has to acknowledge, okay, I have sinned. I have transgressed the command of Jehovah and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Well, what kind of king is it that lets the people dictate what the king is going to do? Not a very good king at all. So God has already chosen someone else, and by this time, he already had the replacements already in line. That would be David. And so that's what was going to take place here. All right. In Acts 5:29, we're going to kind of make the correlation with the New Testament and learn some things about this lesson. See, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." So the people cannot direct us how we're supposed to worship God. And these people, whether it be the doctrines and precepts of men, whether it be the government, whether it be our own members, nobody gets to dictate how we serve God except God. God's the one who has informed us how we're supposed to do it. And what we see in the denominational world, and sadly many churches of Christ, people are doing what they want to do. And yet they have found some way to justify it in their own minds that what they're doing is legitimate. Well, after all, we do go to church on Sunday like we're supposed to. We do meet in a church building like other people do. We do sometimes sing songs. I mean, some of us sing songs all the time. Others, they just listen to the choir or listen to the band or whatever. I mean, so that's the way people are in this world. And if we're going to obey God, that means to obey all of what he commands. See, the subject of obedience on man's part is a major theme that runs throughout the Bible. It is there. And so, without obedience, man is lost eternally. And, of course, that goes against what many doctrines of men teach. Many doctrines of men teach that, okay, people are saved by grace, and so they don't have to do anything. And so, I mean, they're going to argue that point. Well, we're saved by the grace of God, and we don't have to do anything to merit our salvation. But the Bible teaches us that without obedience, man is lost eternally. So if this doctrine of grace only is right, how much of the Bible can we just eliminate? Well, for these people, they've eliminated a lot of the Bible. They've taken it away and gotten rid of it. They don't even use it anymore in most cases. And the parts that, and they choose, there's some parts they don't want to use because it's offensive to somebody. In Hebrews 5, 8, 9, we have the passage that says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So, he is the author of eternal salvation, and for most of the world, they just cut it off right there. They just stop right there and fail to read the rest of it. But the rest of it says, "unto them that obey him." I mean, so that's something that is there. I mean, only those who obey him are going to be able to enjoy that salvation. And so we know that Christ learned obedience, and salvation is provided for those who obey Christ. And so that we see that. That's the way it is. That's what Christ did for us. Christ taught us, you got to do it all. I mean, there's a fine line between obedience and disobedience. And doing most of what we're supposed to do doesn't cover it all. And that's what some people don't get in their mind. Well, I do some things. I mean, I acknowledge the existence of God. That ought to be good enough to get me to heaven. I do pray to God every now and then. That ought to get me to heaven. And the problem is, they're not doing all the commandments of God. They don't care to learn what those commandments are, for a lot of them. See, Saul did most of what he was told to do. Yes, he did go. He fought against them. He killed all these people. He saved one. He spared one. And yeah, he was supposed to destroy everything, but yet he let the people keep the cattle and the sheep. So he did most of what he was told to do. And the logical thinking by most people in the denominations, well, we do most of what God tells us to do. That ought to be good enough. Well, it wasn't good enough for Saul as far as the relationship he had with God. I mean, we should learn a lesson from that. God was not pleased and was really sorry that he had made Saul king. He wanted someone who would lead the people and guide the people in a spiritual sense to be seeking God. But this king did not do it. Now, David would, the next king would, but Saul did not do it. And so, the general teaching in modern times is that if we do even some of what God says, we'll be just fine. And you know what? Yeah, when we teach what the Bible says, that kind of goes against this statement that if we do some of what God says, because we can go through and find so many passages of Scripture in the New Testament alone that says God requires us to do certain things. And if we don't do it, it is sin. And so, how do we reconcile that? See, are we not supposed to learn from the things written before? We're supposed to learn lessons from the Old Testament. I mean, what they did, how God interacted with them, how God dealt with them. And we basically learn the lesson, people who obey God get blessed. People who don't obey God get cursed. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. No, that's simple enough. Even the most simple mind can comprehend that. Do what God says, it'll be good. Don't do what God says, it'll be bad. But people haven't figured that out. And they really, honestly, they don't want to figure it out. Because as long as they get to do what they want to do, they're fine with whatever they do. See, Romans 6, 15 through 18 says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Yeah, who are you going to serve? And so really, it's our service. The things we do every day, that determines who we serve. Now, do we focus on God and Christ and being faithful Christians? Or do we just join in with the rest of the world and just go along with whatever they're doing? I mean, that's something we've got to consider. And of course, the Bible teaches that disobedience brings punishment. And of course, the denominational world, they kind of reject this point also. I mean, God's grace covers up all disobedience that you might have. So that's this concept of once saved, always saved. I mean, and it doesn't matter what you do after you're saved, it doesn't matter what you do, you're still going to be safe and protected and go to heaven. I mean, that is a comfort doctrine which millions, if not billions of people hang on to. And it's not right. See, James 2:8, "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced or of the law as transgressors, or convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become transgressor of the law." How many points of the law can we ignore and refuse to do and still be accepted as doing all the law? Once again, it's not rocket science. I mean, it's a simple understanding. What is our duty to God? See, in spite of all the exhorting and encouraging that is done, there are some that are very indifferent about the attendance and work associated with the church. We're going to accept those who are out sick and those who are traveling. I mean, there's a few of those. But our number, is very small. And so the evidence speaks volumes, as if we notice, certainly God who knows can notice. I mean, we have to know that. If we notice, God can notice. And so God knows everything's going on. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Galatians 6 and verse 6. That just tells us right there. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. It's there. Now, we must do good works. All right, Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God planned beforehand that we should so walk in them. All right, Titus 1:3. Remind them to be ready for every good work. And 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These are good works. And if we don't do these things, it is sin. James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and does not, to him it is sin. And we are commanded to do good. That's what we're supposed to do. If we're commanded to be like Jesus, and Peter explained to Cornelius, Jesus went about doing good. That's what he was all about, doing the Father's will and doing good. That's what we should be all about. But are we? No. So if we do not do the good that has been commanded, we basically have become disobedient, whether we intend to or not. That's how easy it is to slip from obedience to disobedience. Just don't do what God tells you to do. Our duty. So to those who think they can change or ignore one law of God and thereby still gain the promised reward, they're badly mistaken. And there's literally millions of people in this world. They might get 99% right, but getting 1% wrong is still wrong. It's like I said about a preacher one time. Yeah, 99% of the stuff he says is right, but that 1%, that makes him a false teacher. And so, yeah, it does. If they won't change their way when shown the truth, and that definitely was done to that person, he said, I'm not going to change. So he was labeled a false teacher. 99% of his teaching was excellent. But that 1% was enough to make him a false teacher. If we do 99%, we'd think, wow, look what I've done. We'd be so filled up with pride that we would be committing a sin right there, the sin of pride, and that would keep us out of heaven. So God promises to render wrath upon those who know not God nor keep his commandments. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9. So we know that's going to happen. And people who don't do what they're supposed to do, or people who do things they're not supposed to do, it's all considered sin in God's book. Now, when we say keep his commandments, that should be understood to mean all of them that we can. Now, granted, when we start out, we don't have that much knowledge because we're supposed to grow in knowledge. And so, yeah, we need to learn. But as time goes along, we should know more about the Bible to the point that we become able to not only live it, but to teach it. The Hebrew writer told the Hebrews there, you become dull of hearing, for by this time you ought to be teachers. But you need to be taught again the very basic elementary principles. So some people never get beyond the elementary principles. And sometimes they can't even repeat those elementary principles if their life depended upon it. God requires obedience. It is required in every facet of our lives. That's why we need to pay attention to everything we do. A lot of people have this problem of compartmentalization. That's a big, long word. I mean, and that's what they do. Compartmentalization. In other words, you have this life, you have that life, you have that life. So let's put your religious life in one box. We'll open up that box on Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoon we'll close up that box, and we won't have to worry about it. We have our life, we have our job, we have our recreation, we have other things to do. And so they don't let the religious life carry over into the rest of it. I mean, some people are that way. But obedience to God is always there. You know, let your speech be always seasoned with grace. It doesn't say let your speech sometimes be seasoned with grace, or most of the time, but always. I mean, some people just don't get it, apparently. I mean, the obedience of the gospel. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live faithfully from now on. I mean, all of these are supported by Scripture, and these are all definitely taught as necessary. And yet, most of the religious world, basically, they take that top line and say, okay, we'll go along with that. But the bottom line? No. They don't think it's necessary. And neither they live faithfully from now on. That's not necessary either. Once saved, always saved. Remember? Yeah. Some people say all you have to do is believe. I mean, that's it. Faith only. Many people teach faith only. But they leave a lot of stuff out when you start teaching faith only. And then when we talk about the work, the organization, and worship of the church, we have the examples in Scripture, how we're supposed to do it, what we're supposed to do during this period of time, and the attitude we're supposed to have while doing it. And then, of course, the teaching and preaching the truth as found in the Bible. That is so very necessary. And yet, so many people decide, well, no, that's not necessary. I mean, people can be saved without Bible teaching. People actually say that. Yeah, you don't need the Bible. I mean, as long as you're sincere. So if you're a Muslim and you pray to Allah, as long as you're sincere, you can go to heaven. I mean, that's what the Pope said. He said even atheists can go to heaven if they just think that there might be a God. I mean, this world is so messed up in what the teaching is. And then the problem is, when we who will speak the truth speak up with the truth, we're basically ridiculed and mocked and made fun of and hated for speaking the truth. See, Saul learned that only doing a part of what God commanded was not good enough. When God wants something done, he wants it done properly, and he wants it to be done the way it should be done. Now, he told people not to do any work on the Sabbath, right? They caught a man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. What did they do? They stoned him. That's right. And so, I mean, God was serious about that. They said, don't take any spoil from the city. And then Achan grabbed some of the silver from Jericho and hid it in his tent. And then they lost their next battle. God says, there's sin in the camp. How much sin was in the camp? One. That was enough to condemn Achan. In fact, his whole family paid the price, because his whole family, all of his animals, all of his possessions were burned. I mean, you think that sounds kind of cruel, but God was making a point. God does not tolerate sin. He will not accept sin. And not doing what they're supposed to do is sin. And you know what? We should learn the same lesson. Our duty as Christians is to learn as much as we can what God wants from us and then do those things. You know, learn God's ways and his commandments. You do that through studying God's word and learning God's word. And we need to do them all. And yes, this requires a study and for what his commands are for us. And it's so easy for people to say, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. And they just kind of like, no big deal. I'll just go on my way. I won't make any changes. I didn't know that. But if you want to serve God, you have to do it His way. And that's what we try and encourage and teach from this pulpit. Serving God His way, to the best of our ability. Will we be 100% doing everything God tells us to do? Probably not. And so where we fail is where grace is going to take over. But if we're not trying, His grace is not going to be helping us one bit. He will withhold His grace from those who don't even try. So that's a lesson. Simple lesson, but one it needs to be repeated often. And people need to hear lessons like this because it's the truth. All right. Think about these things. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.